You are Locked On Raiders, your daily Oakland Raiders podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Just win.
The autumn wind is a pirate, blustering in from sea. With a rollicking song, he sweeps along, swaggering boisterously. His face is weather-beaten. He wears a hooded sash, with a silver hat about his head, and a bristling black mustache. He growls as he storms the country, a villain big and bold. And the trees all shake and quiver and quake as he robs them of their gold. The autumn wind is a raider, pillaging just for fun. He'll knock you round and upside down and laugh when he's conquered and won.
What up, Raider Nation? Welcome into another episode of the Locked On Raiders podcast. It's Thursday, November 14th, 2019. Man, is this month not flying by? We're already halfway through the month of November. That is insane, man. I remember just being Halloween not too long ago. All of a sudden, we're halfway through November, staring down December. Pretty soon, we're going to be talking about that one day where everybody gets presents that I won't talk about until, well, you know, that day that everybody gets presents. But either way, we're right here in mid-November, November 14th, 2019. It is Thursday, and it is time for another episode of the Locked On Raiders podcast. Hopefully, you enjoyed Wednesday's episode, the crossover edition, talking all things Bengals and talking all things Raiders. Again, I thought that was a really good one with Joe Goodberry from Locked On Bengals, and I hope that you enjoyed it as well. Coming up on today's show, I got your call straight off that Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line. Didn't get to any of them on Wednesday's show because it's really tough, too, especially when you have a longer crossover edition. So didn't get to do any of those. We'll get to them on today's show in segment number three. Segment number two, I told you that I was going to do an interview with Locked On NFL hosts Brian Peacock and Matt Williamson. Again, they do Locked On NFL. They do a really good job, in my opinion. They had me on. And again, when the Raiders are doing well and all of a sudden everybody's talking about them, I get all the shows. I get booked. I mean, people hit me up, text me, Q, can you come on my show? Q, can you come on my podcast? Q, can you do this? Yes, I can, and I will. And so, yeah, on Wednesday, I was on Brian Peacock and Matt Williamson's Locked On NFL show, and I talked all things Raiders, and I thought it was a really good show. So that's coming up in segment number two. It's about 17 minutes. I'm going to bring the whole thing to you in segment number two. Here in segment number one, I'm going to do like I always do, hit you with the news and the notes of the day. And honestly, I'm going to really hit you with nothing but Deion Jordan information. Because Deion Jordan is the guy that everyone wants to know. What is he going to be? Who is he going to be? Been in the league for a while. Hasn't done a whole lot of anything. Has dealt with suspension. Has dealt with injuries. His suspensions have come from either PEDs or recreational use. Either way, it's not good. And his career has not gone the way he wanted it to go. But he has another opportunity now with the silver and black now that the Raiders have signed him. So, really, he practiced on Wednesday. He was allowed in the building on Wednesday. Or no, he was allowed in the building on Tuesday, but he was able to practice on Wednesday, and he did that. He said he's in the best shape of his life. He's healthy, he's sober, and he's ready for his opportunity. So what I want to do right here is just kind of break down his media session. It was about 7 minutes after practice, and I thought it was really good. I thought he had a lot of good information. And I'll tell you, watching the video of it, I just kind of felt a little bit like, yeah, I don't know if he's 100% all good. You know what I mean? It just felt a little off when I was watching the video and listening to what he had to say. But at the same time, he's got an opportunity. So we'll see what he can make of his opportunity. Again, he just, to me, and it's just me watching a video and just kind of being an older dude and realizing, like, let me see where this guy's at right now, where his head's at. Just seemed like he might have been a little bit off. I'm not trying to curse the guy. I'm not trying to give him any bad juju. I'm just saying he felt like he was a little bit off. But I'm going to break down, or I did break down, his media session. I'm going to bring it to you right now. So the first thing he was asked on what he's been doing to get ready for the moment. You know, he knew that this opportunity was going to come. He knew he was suspended for the first 10 weeks of the regular season of 2019. So what has he been doing? How has he been preparing for the moment so he'd be ready to sign with the team moving forward? Here's Deion Jordan on what he's been doing to get ready for this moment.
Obviously. Yeah, I've been working out really hard, you know, over the last, 9 months, whatever it's been. And, rusty as far as going against, you know, somebody else and just having a whole bunch of other people around me from that football standpoint, yeah. But, you know, my teammates been helping me, the D-line been helping me, linebackers, DBs, and I'm going to just do whatever I have to do to get myself up to speed from that standpoint.
And that's good. I mean, it's good that he's been working out really hard. I mean, there's video floating around Twitter. There's video floating around the internet. And you can see that he's in really, really good shape. I know Vic Tafer from The Athletic, he talked about how great shape he's in. And that's a good thing. But, again, it's one thing to be in body shape and health shape. And there's another thing to be in football shape. So who knows how long it's going to take for Deion Jordan to get kind of acclimated to what he's supposed to be doing. I know John Gruden said he wouldn't rule him out just yet for Sunday. But at the same time, that's a really long stretch to think he's going to be ready for Sunday. But we'll see. Again, he's a super athlete. You know, he's in great shape. So we'll see if he's able to go in there and give him at least some reps. I mean, again, if you're just getting after the pass rusher, if you're just a situational pass rusher, you may be ready to go on Sunday. So we'll see what Deion Jordan has in the tank. So one concern is the fact that he's been suspended a lot. He has a lot of personal issues going on off the field as far as substance abuse. I mentioned already he's been suspended multiple times for PEDs and recreational drugs. So the question was asked, have the Raiders set up a support staff for him similar to what they did for Richie Incognito, similar to what they did for Darren Waller? And he was a guy that was really dealing with substance abuse, and he's come in to the Raiders and been a superstar. So have the Raiders set up some kind of situation, some kind of support system that is similar to that for Deion Jordan?
Yeah, very much so. You know, I've been training here in the Bay Area. So part of the reason why I didn't want to go anywhere else is because I've had that support staff. You know, they only crossed the Bay Bridge for me. You know, I'm from here, so my family's, you know, all around me. So that was one of the huge reasons why I decided to stay in the Bay Area and play ball. You know, I also have a lot of other great connections, you know, from people who are supporting me, you know, that work here for the organization as well. So, yes.
So there it is right there, Deion Jordan saying that the Raiders did, in fact, set up a support system for him. And look, it's worked out really well for Darren Waller. Obviously, he's been one of the best players on the Raiders so far in 2019. Richie Incognito looks like he's in a great place. So whatever the Raiders are doing behind the scenes, whatever kind of support system they've set up has been working out really well. So I'm not mad at that at all. So another question, because you heard Deion Jordan talk about the fact that he's been in the Bay Area, he's been working out, you know, he's got that support system there in the Bay, he's from there. So one of the questions was asked to him, has he been watching this team from a distance? Has he been checking them out, seeing what they're up to? Here's Deion Jordan on, has he been watching the Raiders from a distance?
Yeah, of course, man. You know, like I said, I've been here, so you get a chance to watch him play, you know, on Sundays. And yeah, man, it just kind of like, it all just fell in place, man. You know, it was all destined. You know, I feel like, you know, every day or every hour since I've been here, I'm reminded that I made the right choice, you know. So I'm just very thankful that it happened the way it did. You know, it was no stress on me at all. It's just all football, you know, and it's a lot of people here that helped me just get that part done.
So at least he's been familiar with the team. At least he's somewhat, you know, locked in on what they're doing. And, of course, a lot of people nationally are locked in what the Raiders are doing. But it's good to know that a player that didn't know where he was going to be, didn't know where he was going to be suiting up or who he was going to be playing for next, has been paying attention to what the Silver and Black have been doing. So you have to feel pretty good about the direction, or at least he knows what direction they're going. And he could be a part of that, or he feels like he could be a part of that. Another good question was, Jordan was asked about Tom Cable, and Tom Cable's the offensive line coach, but he was also the offensive line coach in Seattle, and Deion Jordan did spend time in Seattle in 2017 and 2018. So the familiarity right there with Tom Cable, how much did that play a factor? How much did that help in Deion Jordan's decision to become a member of the Silver and Black and sign on with them and not take a trip to go visit other teams, but instead sign with the hometown Raiders?
It was huge, man. It was huge. My mentor is Coach Cable's mentor. So, you know, from that standpoint, I feel like I've been hearing a lot of his messages, you know, not through him, but through somebody else who I know. And I had a chance to be with Coach Cable up in Seattle as well. So it played a huge, huge role. And he's a great, great individual, man. And he kind of just gave me that nod and like, this is a great place for you to come ball.
It's funny, man. I've talked about it multiple times about, you know, it feels like the old school Raiders where you just get a bunch of misfits and you just join them up on the team and they go out there and succeed, right? Similar to the old school Raiders. And again, I didn't think, and I said this early in the offseason, I said, I don't think that you could do that in 2019. I don't think you could just get a band of characters together and just say, hey, you're a really good athlete. You're a really good athlete. Yeah, you're not really succeeding here, but you're going to come succeed here, and think it was going to work. But you know what? So far in 2019, the Raiders have really made that work. And it sounds like Tom Cable told Deion Jordan showing that, hey, man, this has been working out for me. It's a good place for me. And we all know Tom Cable has his demons as well. But Deion Jordan seems like, or sounds like, that Tom Cable really had a major influence on him joining the Silver and Black. So a couple more questions here from Deion Jordan's media session on Wednesday. They said, what was his focus on? You know, what is he trying to, what point is he trying to make? Is it like, hey, you got me wrong, you got me messed up? I was worthy of that number three overall pick when the Miami Dolphins traded up with the Raiders to go get me. You know, what is his mindset? What is his focus on right here? Here's Deion Jordan on what he's focused on day to day.
I'm just worried about today.
Yeah.
That's the only thing that matters to me. And it's been a great opportunity, you know, over the last 2 days just to be around, you know, these fellas and just get back to football, you know. So that's the only thing that matters to me, is that opportunity to play ball and to get to Sunday, you know. So that's the only thing that matters.
And he's right. It's absolutely the only thing that matters day to day, one day at a time, is how he's got to take it. I talked about Darren Waller. I've talked about Richie Incognito. That's what they've got to do. I mean, they got to handle their business on the field, but every single day with what they're dealing off the field, that is a daily process. That's not something that you can say, okay, I'm over it, I'm good to go now. That's something that you have to fight each and every day. And Deion Jordan, at least in his mind, sounds like he's good as far as saying that, hey, it's a day-by-day process. This is what I'm dealing with. He's got a lot of demons off the field that he's dealing with, and it's good to hear him in that position. Again, I mentioned it earlier. When I watched the video of his media session, he just seemed like he was a little maybe uncomfortable talking, as long as he did, because it was like 6 or 7 minutes, but he just didn't look 100% right. But at least he sounds like he knows what he's talking about. And, you know, hopefully he's getting back to being on the straight and narrow and being all good, and maybe he can contribute to this team. So the final question was about the scouting report on the Raiders. What is he seeing? He's been watching them. He's been there in the Bay Area. He's talked to Tom Cable. What has he seen from this Raiders team? And more importantly, what has he seen from this young Raiders defensive line?
A lot of young guys who just know how to go. So I feel like I fit right in with these dudes, man. That's how I play. I just go. And, you know, I'm happy that they kept keeping me up to speed from that perspective. You know, as far as the offense, you know, they've been doing very well on that side of the ball. And, yeah, like I said, man, I'm just happy that I found an organization where it kind of fit me personality-wise. And, you know, that was it.
So there it is. You heard from new Raiders defensive end, number 95. He's been rocking that number the whole time he's been in the NFL. He's going to be number 95 there on the Raiders. And so Deion Jordan now actually getting into practice. Will he play on Sunday against the Bengals? Who knows? Maybe the Raiders go ahead and give him this week off and let him try to get caught up on what he needs to be doing and get in, study the playbook a little bit more, study some film a little bit more, and get a little bit of practice under his belt before they trot him out there. Or maybe they give him a little trial run. Who knows? But that was Deion Jordan. That was his press conference from Wednesday. He sounds like he's in a good place. Hopefully, like I said, it's an everyday battle. Hopefully he is in a good place. Coming up in segment number two, my interview from Wednesday with Brian Peacock and Matt Williamson from Locked On NFL. Talked all things Raiders. I'm starting to get that request again. I'm starting to get requests again to do radio shows and do podcasts, and it's a great feeling. So, yeah, the Raiders have done me well by that. That's coming up in segment number two of today's Locked On Raiders podcast. Before I get into that, though, I got to tell you about my bookie. And the reason I got to do that is because it's fast, it's easy, and they pay when you win. And let's face it, where you're betting, that's just as important as who you're betting on. I definitely would not be telling you to bet with them if they weren't the best, but they are the best. So go on and bet with them. It's not a big deal. You're going to win money. Do the smart thing. You're betting football this season? Bet with MyBookie. And did you know that you could bet on games after the kickoff? I know I told you that a million times, but you probably think, like, you crazy. You can't bet on a game after the game started. No, you really can. If by the second half it looks like your bet's going to lose, don't worry about it. Just go on and flip over to the other side, and you're going to still win that money. And if you're the kind of guy that likes to bet a little and win a lot, you could try a parlay. All your picks come through, you can multiply your winnings. So no matter how you bet, the NFL season, you already know that's the best time of year to do that. All you got to do right now, if you don't have an account, join now. MyBookie will double your first deposit if you use the promo code LOCKEDON to activate the offer. Again, go to MyBookie.ag today, use the promo code LOCKEDON, and MyBookie will double your first deposit. One more time, MyBookie.ag today, promo code LOCKEDON, and MyBookie will double your first deposit. You play, you win, you get paid. Segment number two is on the way.
You are Locked On Raiders, your daily podcast on the Oakland Raiders, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, Raider Nation, here we are. Segment number two of today's Locked On Raiders podcast. It's Thursday, November 14th, 2019, and I just want to bring you the interview that I did. I don't know if you got a chance to hear it. I did retweet it on Wednesday, but Matt Williamson, Brian Peacock from Locked On NFL, they do a good job on the Locked On NFL Network right here on the Locked On Podcast Network, but they do the Locked On NFL show. They hit me up and was like, hey, Q, I need you to come on and talk Raiders with us. And it was funny. It was like 30 minutes before I went on my radio show on ESPN Central Texas. I said, yeah, I can make that happen, so go on and hit me up. And so they did. So here's that interview right here. Here's myself, Brian Peacock, and Matt Williamson from Locked On NFL.
Our guest today on Locked On NFL, we've got your boy Q. He is the host of Locked On Raiders. You can also hear him middays on ESPN Radio Central Texas. Q, how you doing, my man?
I'm doing really good, and man, it's nice when the Raiders are actually playing pretty good and got a nice little record. All of a sudden, you start to get some calls, some requests to go on the radio or do other podcasts. Fun, it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, the same has been happening.
It's good to talk to you again, man.
All the time.
I am shocked with where the Raiders are right now. They're highly relevant, and it seems like they're playing efficient, well-coached, hard-to-play-against football.
They really are, you know, and it's something that's not, you know, it's not one of those high-flying magic show acts like the Kansas City Chiefs have, where it's just like helter-skelter, Madden ball or whatever. It's just well-coached, like you mentioned. It's controlled football. It's powered by the run game. Derek Carr has to be accurate, and his timing has to be perfect. And right now, especially over the last three or four games, he really has been the guy. He's been the guy who's been in full control of what John Gruden wants him to do out there on the field. And Josh Jacobs, the rookie running back, has done a heck of a job so far his rookie year. And really, the young guys on the team, some of the misfits on the team, it's almost like a throwback Raider team, because you have some guys that are just kind of castaways from other rosters, and all of a sudden they've come to the silver and black, and they found their way and found a role. It might not be a major role, but it's a role, and they're all just, they're understanding what they're supposed to be doing, and it's really been a lot of fun to watch.
Al Davis would be proud.
Yes, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it turns out Gruden can still coach a little bit, which is interesting, and I like the guys Mike Mayock is bringing in. The rookie class is doing things. You've got Josh Jacobs, a phenomenal rookie campaign so far, but the other first-rounder, Cleveland Ferrell, sort of coming on as of late. I know some people were looking at other players and other pass rushers and thinking, oh man, maybe the Raiders didn't get their guy, but I actually like that he's got this competitiveness to him, where after his 2.5 sack game, he was asked by reporters about it, and he just had this one answer ready to go, which was basically like, psh, I don't know why you're surprised by that. We're here to play. We're going to win some games later.
Yeah, you know.
Can you tell us about the other pass rushers too? Max Crosby, some of these other guys that aren't household names, playing really well.
Yeah, no, they really are, man. And I like Max Crosby a lot, the fourth round pick out of Eastern Michigan. And he's a guy who I think he's playing a lot more than he was expected to when the season began. I think they thought that they were going to kind of bring him on slowly and be a situational pass rusher. But something that John Gruden said about this guy weeks ago is once he got on the field and the way that his motor runs, you can't take him off, because that effort doesn't quit. You know, he just goes. And he's not, you know, leading the league in sacks, or he's not doing any of that. But if you look, he's doing all the little things. You know, he's getting a lot of pressures on the quarterback. He caused a couple interceptions, or caused a couple Phillip Rivers bad throws on Thursday night for those interceptions. And he's doing a lot. And again, he's just kind of, he's almost the exact guy who his coach is in John Gruden. One of those guys who, you know, they got the energy, you know, they got the motor that's going to run. He's a typical Gruden grinder. A lot of times we make jokes about the Gruden grinder. Is he going to be a Gruden grinder? He is a typical Gruden grinder, and it's been a lot of fun to watch him develop. And I think he's only going to continue to get better and better and better.
Yeah, and Ferrell is too, huh? He's starting to emerge.
Yeah, no, he really is. You know, it's funny about him, man. I'm glad you guys brought him up. You know, he was underperforming as far as sack totals, and a lot of Raider fans were getting upset because, oh, you could have had Josh Allen, Brian Burns, you could have had this guy, that guy, whatever, and they went with Cleve Farrell, and it was a surprise to me, I'm not gonna lie to you, it was a surprise to me when they picked him at number four. And he said the other day in an interview, when it was asked, was like, hey, what do you say to the fans that are upset by your lack of sack totals? And he's like, I don't even care about any of that, I don't listen to any of that, I know who I am as a player, I know who I'm going to be as a player, I know what we're building here as a team, and I know what we're going to do. And all that other stuff doesn't matter. I don't care about football as far as the money that it makes me. I don't care about the fame. I'm here for the love of the game. And that kind of just got my attention and made my ears perk up. And then the next night he goes out and gets 2.5 sacks and has like 10 pressures on Phillip Rivers. I'm thinking, okay, I see where he's going with this. So I think that's one of the main reasons why they went out and got him. He was a leader on that Clemson defense.
Hey, Q, how has the team come out of the Antonio Brown circus in the offseason? Looming move to Las Vegas. There's a lack of home games there for a big stretch, playing in London. How have they come out of that so much better than a lot of people expected? I mean, Matt and I have picked the Raiders to lose just about every week when we do our picks on Friday episodes, and we've been wrong more than we've been right. So were our expectations too low for the Raiders in 2019, or are they overachieving right now?
Well, I think, I'm not going to lie to you, I think they are overachieving, but I think a lot of that has to do with all the issues and the challenges that they had to face. You know, the things that you were talking about, AB, the lack of home games. I mean, they were gone from the Oakland Coliseum for 6 weeks. They went from week two all the way until just the other day, a couple games ago. And it's just, it's unbelievable that they were able to go all the way to London, go to Indianapolis, go to Minnesota, go to Green Bay. I mean, go all on these different road trips and find ways to at least compete. And then some of those games pick up wins. And that kind of help build this team, I believe. And I was at the game in Houston, and I asked the guys in the locker room, did that long road trip, what did that do for you? What did that do? And they said, look, we had no other option but to become a tight unit, because that's all we were. We were just all around us. We didn't have our family. We didn't have our friends. We didn't have anything. It was just us with each other. And so we had to form that bond. And that was what a rookie Trayvon Mullen told me. And that was right after he got his first career start. And he said, I just think that this team is going to continue to grow, and you're going to see at the end of the season who we really are. And they're starting to show that. They're starting to turn the corner. And I think that if they admit it to you, they'd probably tell you that they're ahead of schedule right now. But that's okay, because it's the NFL, and sometimes that's how it goes. Sometimes a ball will bounce your way. Sometimes you'll come up with a play at the end of the game and steal a game or win a game. And right now, sitting at 5-4 after 9 weeks, unless you're just out of your mind, Raider Nation's got to be thrilled.
Yeah, you know what, Q? I mean, not enough people are talking about this offensive line, and it took us too long to get to that point in this conversation, too.
Right.
We know Derek Carr needs to be protected, or at least he's much better when protected. I mean, we know his strengths and weaknesses in that regard, at least historically. And Josh Jacobs, I think, is going to be one of the best backs in the league, but neither one of these two is being nearly as successful as they've been without those two nasty guards, you know, two very different tackles. And then Hudson, the leader in the middle, it's a really good group.
It really is. And, you know, the funny thing about the offensive line is it really hasn't even played all season long together as that one unit. I mean, they did on Thursday night, but leading up to that Thursday night game, I think they had totaled like 10 snaps that they had actually played with all five starting guys. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, exactly. I mean, Trent Brown was out for a game because he was injured. Incognito was out two games because he was suspended. Rodney Hudson missed the game. He left the game early because he had an ankle injury, and then he didn't play the next game. Gabe Jackson didn't start the season. You know, I mean, there was so many mix and mash. I really raked Tom Cable over the coals all offseason long because I thought, this guy is horrible. How did they hire this dude? Derek Carr got sacked 52 times. And you're right, Matt. I mean, he has to be protected. He's not a guy who's fleet of foot. He's not going to keep things alive with his legs too often. So he needs to be protected. And they went out and they did that. They got guys that can fit the scheme and do what they need to do. And Tom Cable has done a really good job with that offensive line. I don't like to give him a lot of credit, or I didn't want to, but I have to give him a lot of credit, because what he's done with that offensive line, and even not being the starting five for most of the year, has been really, really good.
And it definitely starts up front. You can see what Mike Mayock and John Gruden are trying to do there, and the heaviest offensive line in the league, and playing well, protecting Derek Carr. A little bit more about Derek Carr. It's kind of, at this point in his career, you know who he was coming into this season, or you thought you did, and I think he's playing up a little bit because of a lot of those factors. And you miss Antonio Brown, and the wide receiving group isn't, you know, a brand name group, but they're getting production there from guys. Even when Williams was out, they were getting production. They've got a couple of rookies. I really like Keelan Doss, the undrafted player, and they had to play a little tug of war with the Jaguars to get him back into Oakland. And then Hunter Renfro coming up with the role here, and he's just that classic overachieving, too small, too slow guy, can work in the slot, but he plays big and he plays faster than what he is. So I like what's going on there, and I think especially Renfro fits really well with Carr's strengths.
He really does, and I like Renfro a lot, man. I liked him when they drafted him in the fifth round. He's a Clemson guy. He's been under the big lights. He's been under the bright lights, you know, the big stage. He's been there, done that. And the thing I always tell Raider Nation about Hunter Renfro is, don't look at the total amount of catches. Don't look at the quantity of catches. look at the quality of catches. When they need him, when they need that big first down, when they need that red zone touchdown, when they need that, you know, that play to extend a drive, he's the guy that Derek Carr is going to look for, because he's the guy with the most sure hands. He's the guy who doesn't put the ball on the ground. In his whole career, Derek Carr's whole career, he's been plagued with Amari Cooper dropping balls, Michael Crabtree dropping balls, Seth Roberts dropping balls. I mean, everyone. You know, Tyrell Williams just a couple weeks ago in Houston dropped multiple balls that really impacted them losing that game to the Texans. He is a guy that's sure-handed, and so that's what you really need. You need a guy that you can count on in the clutch. That's Hunter Renfrow, and now all of a sudden he's starting to get into the end zone. You're starting to see even his quantity of balls being thrown his way go up just because Derek Carr trusts him. But really, when it comes to Renfrow, it's all about quality catches.
You mentioned Carr, and he is playing really well. I think he and Gruden are riffing together and starting to understand one another and playing to each other's strengths really well. Do you agree that it's safe to say here in mid-November that he'll be the 2020 starter? And maybe past that, it might be a little optimistic, but is he the guy?
I don't think there's any question. I think if there was a question going into the season, and I know a lot of Raider Nation was really split on if Carr's the guy or if he's just a guy, but I believe now he's shown that what he can do in John Gruden's system in his second year and with some guys that aren't even, like you mentioned before, not even big household names, but he's understanding and he's taking control of the offense, and that's all that John Gruden ever has wanted him to do is just understand what's in front of him, read the defense, and set his team up for success. A lot of times, again, my biggest compliment to Derek Carr is not only being able to, you know, sling the ball around the yard and get it to the guy he has to get it to, but when he's at the line of scrimmage and he sees something that's not going to work, or he sees a defense is set up to stop the play that's called, checking out of that play, checking into a run play, and then all of a sudden you see Josh Jacobs, boom, hit it for 30 yards or hit it for 25 yards, and you know that Derek Carr checked into that run. And that's what really kind of lets me know that he understands exactly what he's out there seeing from opposing defenses. And that's what makes me really feel like this is the guy that's going to take this team to the next level.
It's a great point, and you know Gruden loves that.
Yes, exactly. That's all he wants. He wants that coach on the field.
So I know it's a little early. It's week 11, but I think we can take a quick peek at the playoffs. Oakland's sitting at 5-4 right now. You have to take them seriously because their record says who they are at this point. Only a half game behind the 6-4 Kansas City Chiefs in the AFC West, and tied with the Indianapolis Colts and, Matt, your Pittsburgh Steelers for the sixth seed right now in the AFC playoffs. So super surprising right now. If you look back from week 3 to now, talking about the Steelers and the Raiders tied for that sixth seed. And if we're going to go a step further looking ahead, what about tiebreakers? And this is where the Colts actually are behind both the Steelers and the Colts. Pitt wins the tiebreaker over Oakland based on best win percentage in conference games.
Yeah.
And they win the tiebreaker over Indy based on head-to-head. And the Raiders also have the tiebreaker over Indy on head-to-head. So Indy has to have a full game up on both the Steelers or the Raiders to get into the playoffs. And that bodes well for both Oakland and the Steelers. Do you expect Oakland to be there when we're talking about this in week 17?
You know, right now there's a Raider fan with a big grin on his face because he knows what I'm about to say. And the thing is a lot of fans have been asking me about that, and I keep calling it the P word. I'm like, look, I know they're 5-4. I know that they're in good position. They've set themselves up nicely, but I'm just going to wait and say, you know what, let's see what happens this week against Cincinnati, a game you should win. Let's see what happens next week against the Jets, a game you should win but won't be easy. And then all of a sudden you got Kansas City coming off a bye. Let's wait a couple weeks because, again, like I mentioned earlier, I feel like this team is ahead of schedule. They're not really, you know, they're doing a little bit better than probably most people, including themselves, but they won't tell you that, even expected them to be right now. You know, they probably won a little bit more and actually had an opportunity to win, again, that game in Houston. They probably should have won that one too, but they just let that one slip away. So I just want to see how this team continues to finish games. They're still very young. They're still learning how to finish. They're not a polished machine yet. They're not that one that's just okay, knows how to put the foot on the throat and just choke someone out. They're not really that team yet. So I just want to see them go a couple more weeks. I believe they're set up in great position to make a run at the P word and literally be there at the end of the season. They're playing meaningful games in November right now, so I'm excited by that. I just want to see how this continues to go before I say, yeah, they're going to be in the playoffs, or yeah, they're going to make a run in the playoffs. I just I just kind of want to wait just a couple more. I'm just hesitating just a little bit and really enjoying this ride instead of fast forward and going to the end of the season already.
Q, I'm starting to feel you on that too. And I'm not sold at all on the Bills. I think the Colts are in a rough spot. I think the Steelers have a nice path to the postseason with their schedule. But let's talk in 2 weeks, in two games that the Raiders are going to be favored in, and they probably should win. Right. If they're sitting at 7-4, now we're talking.
Yeah. Now you're talking. You win the next two games that you should win, one at home and one on the road. Then, okay, now you're sitting in a nice position. You're sitting at 7-4, and now you're putting the pressure on the rest of the AFC. The other teams have to come through and start, you know, continue to win games, actually. And Pittsburgh, to their credit, they're probably overachieving as well since they're playing without Big Ben. But, hey, Minkah Fitzpatrick, balling out of control, right? Probably like defensive player of the year, or at least in the running for it. He's keeping them in games. Their defense is keeping them in games. So they're going to be a tough out, man. They're a team to be reckoned with down the stretch as well. So don't, you know, don't hesitate and sleep on them either. And I know, Matt, I know that's okay by you.
Yeah, that's all right with me. My hometown's a little happier than they were a month ago, I can tell you that.
I believe it.
It's a heck of a turnaround, and I talked about what the difference was between an 0-3 Steelers team in week after week 3 to week 11 now, and a 1-2 Raiders team from week 3 to 11. A heck of a lot can change now between week 11 and week 16, so you still got to play this thing out. Yep. And if we have learned anything from the history of the NFL, it's going to be bonkers, and so many things are going to unexpected are going to happen. So just about anything can happen here, and almost any team can beat almost any team almost any week.
Yeah, exactly. And the thing about it, man, if you're a Raider fan and you're fired up about the season and you kind of want to fast track the season, just realize that what's going on right now is the team is playing meaningful games in November, which hasn't happened in quite a while. Now, I know it happened in 2016, but before that, when was the last time that happened? You know what I mean? Usually in November, right now, I'm looking at the draft board. I'm looking at who's coming out and thinking, okay, well, where are they going to be picking at? Okay, this is the guy that I want to see in the silver and black. This is the guy I want to see in the silver and black. Right now, I'm not even paying attention. I know the hot names coming out in the draft, but I'm not worried about where they're positioned are right now because I know the Raiders still have business to handle in this season, and that this season is far from over, and that's something to be excited about. That's something to show that John Gruden, who's been away from the game for as long as he has, absolutely knows what he's doing, and that's a good feeling. And of course, Mike Mayock, I don't want to take away from him. Him and his scouting staff, his scouting team, they've done a heck of a job as well bringing in guys throughout the season.
Obviously, the Raiders aren't thinking draft like they usually are, but I bet you guys still have one eye on the Bears and where they're rooting against those guys.
Oh, no doubt. I think last week they were ranked at number 10. I think maybe they're at 11 or 12 right now. But yeah, how great is that right now the Raiders are going to pick and they're going to have a first-round pick, and right now it's actually the Bears before it's their own. You know what I mean?
Like, right, exactly.
That's a great feeling as well.
Absolutely. Got to be great feelings right now for Oakland Raiders fans, and I like the message there from UQ. Enjoy the ride.
All right, so there it was right there. That was my interview that I did on Wednesday with Brian Peacock and Matt Williamson from Locked On NFL, talking all things Raiders. And it's funny, man, like you heard me say at the beginning of the interview, once the Raiders start doing really well and start getting attention, all of a sudden people want to hit me up and talk to me and call me and have me on the radio shows. And hey, I'm not mad at that. I love it in a major way. So big thanks and many thanks, matter of fact, to Brian Peacock and Matt Williamson from Locked On NFL. Make sure you check out their show because they do a really good job talking all things NFL. And I love to talk all NFL. I love talking Raiders, but I love talking all NFL as well. So Brian does a really good job as well as Matt, and like I said, they take that Locked On NFL podcast to a whole nother level. So many thanks to them. Coming up in segment number 3, your call straight off that Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line, 707-654-4693. This is the Locked On Raiders podcast.
You are Locked On Raiders, your daily podcast on the Oakland Raiders, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, Raider Nation, here we are, segment number 3 of today's Locked On Raiders podcast. Your calls, your thoughts, straight off that Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line, 707-654-4693. You can always hit me up on Twitter, at your boy Q254. I appreciate everyone who hits me up. I really do. If you send me a message, like a direct message, I 9 times out of 10, matter of fact, 99.9% of the time, I will respond. Sometimes I get overwhelmed with a whole bunch of them. It takes me a little bit longer, but you hit me up on Twitter at your boy Q254. I will respond. And again, your Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line messages are always good at 707-654-4693. So let's get into these calls. Right now, we're going to start things off with Red Beard Raider. He's calling in to talk about the tailgate this weekend and the one that's going to happen on December 15th. He has a few good tips and thoughts on what each of us can do to make this thing a success. Here he is, Red Beard Raider.
Hey, what's going on, Q? Raider Nation. We got Red Beard Raider here. I just wanted to go over a few things. I've been working with Anna and Rob about the tailgating between this week coming and all the way through Jacksonville. And Anna, Rob, and Selena. So I just want to go over a few things, like I said, that every person can do. Number one on my list, pay your way. You know, we all put money into this. We all, you know, Jacksonville is going to be taken care of because we're doing it, you know, the certain way with PayPal and everything. But if you're going to join us for this week, next week, or whenever, you know, pay your way. Help out. Earn it at least. Number two, help set up and break down. It's always the same crew that sets it up because we're the first ones there. And then at the very end, half the time, everyone's left, and it's left with the same crew breaking down to just set up for everybody. So help set up, help break down, ask what you could do. Loading barbecues, they're heavy. Number three, don't trash the area. Just because everyone else does doesn't mean we have to. You know, we want to keep our stuff nice, keep our area clean. Yeah, when it's all said and done, there's nothing we could do. But while we're doing it, let's stay clean. And number four, people forget how far this goes, but say thank you. Because there's a lot of effort that's put into these things. Whether it's a smaller tailgate or a big one like the Jaguars game's going to be, which I know it's going to be big, say thank you. One thing that you'll find comes with all this, it will go a lot easier with common courtesy and common sense. Anyway, just keep that message in your mind and we'll have a damn good time. Redbeard Raider out.
Yeah, man, that's awesome. You guys are doing a heck of a job. I know you guys are going to make this thing big, not only this weekend, but, of course, December 15th. And, yeah, I encourage everyone to do as much as you can. Play your part. You know, help this make this thing big. I got some notes that I want to give to you at the end of the show. I'll give it to you about the tailgate. But, yeah, listen to what Redbeard Raider says because he's got a lot to do with the tailgates. He's really contributing a lot. Him, Anna, Rob, Selena from the OC. I mean, they're all holding it down in a major way. And so I really, really appreciate them. Let's make this thing huge. Especially that December 15th one when I'm going to be there. Yeah, I'm a little selfish. On that one, when I'm there, let's make it big, big, and even bigger, all right? Let's go ahead and do that. Like I said, I got some news and notes. Not news and notes, but some notes that I'll give you at the end of this segment. Next call, Sean from Salt Lake City calling in to talk about the call from Hakeem in Oakland. He wants to take a few seconds to respond to him. Again, Hakeem called about Derek Carr. So here's Sean from Salt Lake City.
Hey, what's up, Q? What's up, Raider Nation? This is Sean from Salt Lake City. Just calling in response mostly to Hakeem from Oakland. Just finish up the podcast here on Tuesday. It's Tuesday. Mostly just kind of response to him because one, dude, good to hear from you. Excited to see you Saturday when I fly up to open the game. But kind of just more to kind of, I don't know. I'm a big Carr fan, and so I just want to call in response to him saying that everyone who criticizes Carr is a hater, and I just want you to know, Keen, that I don't believe that. I think we're all fans. We've been fans for so long. Some of us were fans back in the day when they were good, and us younger fans can only dream of seeing those days. So they're all just kind of sick and tired of seeing average and settling for average. So I understand his point. But I also always want to disagree with you, Akeem. I do think that why wouldn't someone like Carr be able to take us to a Super Bowl? Why couldn't he make us win a playoff game? I mean, an average Mark Sanchez, a game manager like him, was able to do it, win some playoff games. I know he's a one-year wonder or whatever. Man, it's probably a bad example. But something like that. I think with John Gruden able to create these offensive plays to make these calls to set us in position with this running game, why not? Maybe next year we add more targets at receiver, some more sure hands, you know? Like, this could happen. Why not? As long as we build this defense. I think the Kansas City Chiefs last year proved that with a awful defense, you ain't going anywhere. The Baltimore Ravens proved that with an average offense, you can go places. I know it's two different times and everything, but in a time when it's pass heavy and the Patrick Mahomes, the great Patrick Mahomes, as I like to say, he didn't take him to the Super Bowl. Yeah, you can say, oh, G4's offsides, whatever. Still, it didn't happen. I don't care what you say. It didn't happen. So, I mean, I think it's possible. I do see your side, Hakeem. I do want to see more from him. Something as simple as a 300-yard passing game. I mean, just light up the scoreboard once. Let's just kick the out of one team. Let's just kind of show that we're here to stay and we're here to grow. But no, man, like I'm still pumped for the season. I think we're heading in the right direction. Let's just take it one week at a time and let's get it done. All right, see you later. See you guys later.
Good call, my man. And again, I've been critical of DC, but The right now, the way he understands the offense and understand what Gruden wants, he can make it happen. We talk about the greatness of Rich Gannon all the time, and look, he was a stud. I love me some Rich Gannon, but let's not act like Rich Gannon was a Hall of Famer. He was good, but he was a journeyman. He was a journeyman that Gruden made an MVP. I mean, really, think about that. He was a journeyman that was good. When he was in Minnesota, he was good. When he was in Kansas City, he was good. When John Gruden got a hold of him in Oakland, he became great. And it was a short time period, but he became great. He's not a Hall of Famer. I'm sure Rich Gannon will be the first one to tell you, but he understood what John Gruden wanted him to do. And that's why I believe that Derek Carr could take the Raiders to the next level, because you don't have to be elite. You don't have to be a Hall of Famer to go win a Super Bowl. You just have to understand what you're supposed to do when you're out there on the field and execute and lead your team. And I do believe, just like Sean from Salt Lake City, that Derek Carr can do that. Thank you very much for that call, my man. I appreciate you. Next up, Raider Russell in Tampa Bay. He's calling in to talk about how the Raiders have been playing, but he still wants to take it one game at a time before he starts talking about the P word. Here he is, Raider Russell in Tampa Bay.
Hi, Q, Raider Nation. This is Raider Russell from Tampa Bay. Listen, I'm excited as everyone else are for how our boys have been looking on the field. Pretty proud of them at 5-4. I know some folks are talking the P word. I'm just still taking one game at a time. We got a lot of growth to do. That defense has got a lot of growing. We want to really talk P-word. We got to get defense up there on the same level as San Francisco and Baltimore. And if in order to be to really talk P-world, but take one game at a time. I'm proud of DC. I know some folks are still hesitant. I don't know what you guys are expecting. DC don't play defense. You can be a great quarterback, but if you don't have a defense, it don't matter how great you are putting up points, they're going to find a way to beat you with a great defense. So let's take one game at a time. I love the way the offense is growing. We get a number one receiver. DC can stretch the field. Not worried about the offense as much as I am about the defense. But I think we can fill those holes. It's wonderful watching them blossom. Yeah, I would like to see a P. They make the P because of the good folks in Oakland. But this is a young team. And every Sunday they play, they get a little bit stronger. So that's my take on it. Raider Nation, nothing but love. If I don't talk before the holiday, have a happy Thanksgiving, you all. I'm out.
Good call there, my man. Definitely appreciate that. And you're like me, man. You want to take a little bit more time to see how this team continues to evolve and also how they get better defensively before you go all in on the P word. And I'm not mad at you. That makes a lot of sense. You heard what I told the fellas in segment number two. That's how I'm rolling, man. I know some people might say, oh, Q, you're afraid to get out there on the ledge. No, I'm not. I'm not at all. I'm just saying I would like to see what they do the next 2 weeks. The next 2 weeks, they should win. They need to win these next 2 weeks, and similar to what I told the fellas, they could be 7-4 at that opportunity. And if they are 7-4 at that opportunity, let's talk the P-word all day. And you know what P-word I'm talking about. I'm talking about the postseason. Nick from SoCal, he's up next. He's calling in to respond to Akeem and Oakland's criticism of D.C., something we heard on Tuesday. Here he is, Nick from Southern Cal.
What's up, Q? What's up, Raider Nation? This is Nick from SoCal. I'm just calling in. I was listening to one of the episodes here. And Akeem from Oakland had called in talking about D.C. And I think he's off base, like way far off base. He said if we get to the Super Bowl, you think you could win it with Derek Carr? Absolutely, bro. I called in earlier about put in a call earlier, you know, I was hyping up D.C. I'm excited about the way he's playing. He has 4 picks on the year. He's got something like 13, 14 touchdowns. He's looking good, man. It's his second year inside John Gruden's offense. I think he's really getting that thing dialed in. I mean, this is the second time that he's had the same offensive coordinator for more than 1 year, you know, if my math is correct. And the last time he did that was 2016, and we all know how well he balled out in 2016. So, yeah, I think he's off base with his Derek Carr take. DC can definitely get it done, man. I think quarterback is the last thing we need to worry about. We got the protection fixed in front of him. I think that's really the key to success with DC, keeping the pocket clean. But, yeah, man, you're starting to see his yards per attempt go up. He's really pushing the ball down the field. It's no more of that. I know he was talking about 3rd-and-3, throws it 2 yards and whatnot. I haven't seen a lot of that in the last couple of weeks. Even going back to like Green Bay, it's just, he's starting to push the ball a little bit more downfield towards the sticks and really moving the ball, you know? They were putting out some stats on DC on third down, and he's like top three in the league on first down stats as far as like completion. He has no picks on third down this year, so I don't know. I just think Akeem's take was a little bit off base. I just wanted to shed my two cents on that. I think quarterback is the last of our issues. DC is right where he needs to be. He's still progressing in Josh Gruden's offense. It's their second year together, and I think you're seeing the fruits of the labor just really start to pay off, and it's just going to get better, man. He's just going to keep progressing and just keep getting better. So, yeah, that was just my two cents. I think DC is, you know, the quarterback of the future. That's just me. All right, I'm out.
Yeah, I agree with you, my man. I think there's no question Derek Carr is the guy moving forward. And you know what? I'm glad Nick mentioned the yard per attempt. And he's doing a lot better than he was, right? Akeem was talking about 3 yards per attempt. That's not current, my man. That's something I didn't even bring up when I was responding to your call. That's not current. That's just kind of like the lazy narrative on DC. That was early in the season. As of late, if you're really paying attention to what he's doing, he's pushing the ball down the field, similar to what Nick said. He's absolutely doing that. Matter of fact, he's up there at the kind of the top of the list right now. He's going 7, 8, 9 yards, 10 yards down the field. He's doing that. It's not about 1 yard, 2 yard, 3 down, check down. It's not that. That's just kind of the lazy narrative, and that's the excuse. Like, oh, that's what Derek Carr does. That's all he is captain check down. That's the lazy excuse, and Akeem, I think you're better than that. But, yeah, I'm glad you brought that up, Nick, because you're absolutely right. Does he need to continue to improve? Absolutely. Is he a solid product yet? Like, a finished product? No. He's still got work to do, but he is trending. He's doing really good things, headed in the right direction. Appreciate that call, my man. Next up, Border Jumper Raider. He's calling to talk about the Raiders and the P word. Here he is, Border Jumper Raider.
Q, Border Jumper Raider. Playoff? What are we doing talking about playoffs? Win the division, then we go to the playoffs. Let's not talk about anything other than just focus on winning the division one game at a time. I love this team. I don't know if there are fans out there, but if there are fans that have only jumped on ship 2001, then because I've been around a fan since 1970. Yeah, I'm an old coot, but you know what? I love this team. And I have f***ing with them through thick and thin, and love this team. Would never, ever even consider jumping ship, because you know what? All I bleed is silver and black. All right, Border Jumper out. And see you December 15th at the Locked On tailgate. I am so psyched. Over and out.
Good call, my man. I ain't gonna lie, I don't know if you said sticking with them or effing with them. Either way, just to be safe, I bleeped it out, but your call was on point, my man. I definitely appreciate you. Thank you so much. And December 15th, yeah, it's gonna go down. Cannot wait to be there, and it's gonna be one hell of a party. I'm so excited about it, man. We are going to have a great time. I anticipate us making it into the game. We got to do that, but I do think this is gonna be a hell of a party December 15th, so just get ready for it, Raider Nation, because your boy is coming, and I'm coming with guns blazing. Next call, Art from Orange County. He's calling in to talk about folks complaining about the way the Raiders are winning games and shares his thoughts on it. Here he is, Art from Orange County.
Yo, what up, Q? It's your boy Art from Orange County out here trucking, man. But I just wanted to call in and give my little two cents. You know, I know you talked about in the last two podcasts, people not happy with the way we're winning and stuff. You know, I was told it don't matter if you win by inch or a mile. Winning's winning. You know what I'm saying? So a dub's a dub, man. And, you know, I think people watch, I mean, I watch a lot of football, and this is just my two cents, you know. It's not clean football, you know. You watch the Patriots, you watch the Packers, you watch some of the Chiefs games, you know. You see elite football teams just execute and be flawless sometimes, you know, most of the time, you know. It's like a well fine-tuned oil machine. And the Raiders don't have that, man. We're not well-tuned, and we don't got synthetic blend, you know. We running on high mileage, you know. We got a Honda Civic as a car, you know what I'm saying? Doesn't mean a Honda Civic's a bad car. It's a good car, but it's a reliable car, you know. And the Raiders just, they're not there yet, you know. We're in year one of rebuilding, guys. Like, well, technically two, because we sold off some of the pieces last year, but we're upgrading right now, you know, and it's not the prettiest games. You know, we got a lot of penalties, and, you know, that's just the way the Raiders are, man. We've always been like that. We've always had a bunch of penalties, and, you know, a lot of people put pressure on Derek Carr, you know, and I even got heated in that Green Bay Packer game. That's the only loss that I could truly put on him this year. Like, this was Derek Carr. But even then, man, like, you know, he's a good quarterback. He's executing John Gruden's offense to the T, man. Like he looks like he's in control of the whole offense. And just, you know, we just need playmakers, man. Josh Jacobs is a playmaker. Waller's been a playmaker, but let's be honest, man. The NFL's already caught up to him. They've kind of shut him down the past couple games, you know. So we are missing a true number one, you know. I like Tyrell. Tyrell does his thing, but, you know, he's not a true number one that's going to take the top off, you know. That's where we backfired, you know, and I know nobody wants to hear it, and, you know. But AB was supposed to take the top, you know, and be that. Imagine if we had AB. You know what I'm saying? You can't cover a running back, a tight end, and AB. You can't. It's impossible. You would have to be the best defense of all time to cover all three of those guys with Derek Carr throwing the ball, because he's so accurate, man, and he can read the defense. And, you know, we need someone with wheels. We need someone with hands that can run clean routes, you know.
I'm with you, my man. Thank you for the call, but I'm with you. It is all good as long as the team wins. That's all that matters to me. I don't know when we change. You know, all of a sudden we become some next-level fan base that has standards on how they win games. I don't know why. Why is that? Why all of a sudden it's got to be like we got to pass the eye test? Oh, well, you didn't do it in a pretty fashion. Hey, man, look, this ain't the college football playoffs. You know, the college football playoff rankings is going on right now. And look, I'm in Central Texas, and Baylor is the team that I cover. And so they're right in the middle of it. They're 9-0 on the season, and all Baylor fans are pissed off because they're not ranked higher than 13th. Look, it's the eye test in college football. In the NFL, it's not the eye test. It's just win, baby. That's all it's about. You go win your games. It doesn't matter if you win every single game by 1 point or if you win every single game by 30 points. You know how much it's worth? One win. One win, man. Yeah, you know what I'm saying, man? I always said it because Mama Q liked it when I said that. You say, man? Hey, man. One, that's all it means. One win. That's it. I don't understand when we all of a sudden became some different kind of fan base. Oh, well, you didn't win like this. DC didn't do this. Josh Jacobs didn't do this. John Gruden didn't do... Hell, man, a win is a win. Take a damn win. Like, I mean, do we not remember what the late, great Al Davis said? You get great coaches, you get great players, and you know what you tell them to do? Just win, baby. You don't tell them go win by 30. You don't tell them you got to do it pretty. You tell them just go win. It just kind of bothers me. Now we got to judge about how the team wins instead of just winning the game. The motto of the Raiders is just win, baby. It's not just win pretty, baby. It's just win. Final call of the show comes with T3 Raider Facts. He's not calling in with his five quick hits of the day. Instead, he's calling in to talk about adversity and how it built character of a great Raider that's no longer with us. Here he is, T3 Raider Facts.
This is T3 Raider Facts. I usually call in with my five quick hits for the day, but in deference to the great idea thrown out by podcast mainstay California Dave, I wanted to share out a brief story about a particular Raider who had to overcome adversity and build character along the way, and then make a connection to the current Raiders roster. The guy I want to talk about was a defensive player who was picked up by the Raiders from Cleveland in 1982. His name was Lyle Alzado. Prior to his time with the Browns, Lyle was with the Broncos, and he was somebody that Al Davis always loved. Raider coach Tom Flores first saw this young man while scouting at Yankton College in 1972 during the offseason. It was about 20 degrees below zero outside, and Lyle was in a little gym working out. When he first came to Raiders training camp in Santa Rosa, he was put at defensive end. But Dave Browning was the first team guy, so Lyle had to become second string. Nobody knew if Lyle had anything left, because when they watched him on tape from his games in Cleveland, he looked like he was just going through the motions. He had that look in his eye like he was done, and then he knew it. Coach Flores hoped that the Raiders could jumpstart him and get a little more out of him. The coach was sitting in his office during training camp in 1982 when Lyle came in with tears in his eyes and said, "Coach, I think I want to retire. I just don't think I'll be able to help you." They talked for a while, and the coach said, "You know, Lyle, give it a chance. Don't think that you can't help us. Let Al Davis and the other coaches and me make the decision. If we don't think you can help us, we'll let you know. I know that training camp becomes boring, especially for a veteran who's been there so many times. Just do what you're doing, work hard, get through training camp. Once we get to playing, things will change. Now, Lyle was a fierce competitor, and he would go crazy sometimes. By the time things got going that season, there was little doubt that Lyle could regain his status as both a starter and a major player. After the strike that year, the team was 8-1. They then won their first playoff game, but then they lost their second one to the New York Jets. But by that time, Lyle was back and playing well and enjoying life in Los Angeles. The world lost Lyle in 1992 to a brain tumor. Both his memory and his legacy will live on. Lyle just couldn't get away from the steroids because everything about him was massive. He wanted to keep the bulk even after he retired from football, so he kept using the steroids. He left his legacy on the football field, and perhaps, in a definite steroid use, he left his legacy off the field as well. Now, here's the link. Despite his tragic death and the hard lessons that we've learned all about steroids, Lyle Alzada came from a small college and had to work hard to get where he got. And then when he had to have someone believe in him and convince him to just work hard and trust the process. I feel like that's what Gruden and Mayock are doing now. And though it may seem a little strange to make this link, some players just have to work harder than others. Some just don't have the freakish natural gifts and talents that other players are blessed with. But when you go back and look at the number of lowly drafted or even undrafted players who went on to legendary careers, you'll find quite a few. Lyle Alzada was simply one, and he was a Raider. Lyle Alzada grew up with a lot of abuse in his family from his father. He did the best he could to protect his mom and his two younger siblings from the abuse. One time in his teen years when his father was going after his mom, Lyle intervened and broke his father's jaw. His father promptly had him thrown in jail. Imagine how it would feel if your father, the only person you really wanted love and affection from, filed assault charges against you and had you arrested and thrown in jail when all you were trying to do was protect the rest of your family. That is true adversity. And although Lyle Alzada will always be known for the steroid use and the tragedy of the addiction that cost him his life and quite possibly a spot in the Hall of Fame, he overcame a lot of adversity in his life. He could just never find happiness, but at least he found a family in the Raider organization.
Really good call. Definitely appreciate that. A great story about Lyle Alzada. Thanks so much for that. That is good, good stuff. And he definitely was a guy that could say the adversity built his character. And that goes back to what my man California Dave hit me with the other day in my DM and made me talk about. Not made me talk about, but I had to talk about on Monday because I thought it was a really, really good topic. So thank you so much for that. Hopefully you enjoyed today's show. Oh, yeah, real quick. And before I go. Before I go, I got to tell you about the tailgate party real quick. Got a message today and just wanted to pass it on. A few things to go over with as we're planning for this epic tailgate. This is from Anna. This is from Redbeard Raider. This is from Selena in the OC. This is from your boy. Just kind of want to pass this on real quick before we move any farther. There is a flyer that's floating around, and it just kind of gives you the information, but I kind of want to break it down. There's questions about the meeting spot. The meeting spot is at 7:30 a.m. It's on that flyer. It's for everyone who has a B-lot parking pass that are planning on parking with the group for the tailgate. The cost, $25 per person. That includes a huge menu. I said it the other day, but non-alcoholic, alcoholic beverages, it's all good. Selena said already that over 200 people have RSVP'd, but only 7 people have actually paid. So, you know, a lot of people are coming out of pocket, so we definitely need everyone to kind of contribute and make this happen. So please purchase your plate early. You can go to my Twitter page, and you'll see that there's a link right there. I have it pinned at the top of my Twitter page, at yourboyq254, and you can do it right there. So, again, purchase your plate early. The cutoff date is December 6th. No exceptions will be made. All RSVPs for this event will go through Selena at LockedOnRaiders@yahoo.com. Again, LockedOnRaiders@yahoo.com. Anything involving food and volunteering, that's going to go through Anna at AnnaD@pristinefitness.net or 925-301-7963. Make sure to reach out anytime with any questions. There's a great response from people volunteering for grill shifts as well as setup and teardown, cleanup. That's all good. We definitely appreciate that. We can always use more. And on top of that, there's been a flag purchase with the Locked On logo, so it's easy to locate in B lot where the tailgate is exactly going to be. Again, they've even purchased a flag with the Locked On logo, so it's easy to find the B lot tailgate. Wristbands will be placed on all the people that have paid for their Locked On tailgate the day of the game, so everyone can keep track. So go ahead and make that happen. If you have not gone ahead and done that. If you have not, secured your plate, secured your loved one's plate, whatever you got to do, go check out my Twitter, at yourboyq254. It's pinned to the top of my Twitter. You can go ahead and click on it. I'm about to buy like 4 plates. I'm going to get at least $100 worth of plates and make it happen, just because a lot of people are making a lot of things happen, and it ain't easy, and a lot of people are coming out of pocket, and so everyone needs to contribute as well. So that's just a little message that I wanted to bring and pass on as far as the tailgate goes. Coming up on Friday's show, I got my interview that I did with Christopher Gabriel from 940 ESPN in Fresno. I got that I'm going to bring to you. I also got the keys to the game for this Sunday against the Bengals, the winless Bengals. I got that. Plus, I got some more of your calls straight out the Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line. Hopefully, that's all going to squeeze into the Friday episode. I'm going to make it squeeze in. How about that? All right. So that's coming up on Friday's edition. Until then, Raider Nation, as always, just win, baby.